Have you ever walked into the wrong place and somehow ended up becoming the most respected person in the room? Because that is exactly what happened to one tiny grandma with a handbag, a floral blouse, and absolutely no fear. She did not mean to join a biker gang, she was just looking for a bingo hall. But by the end of the day, she was riding with leather-clad motorcycle men who called her ma'am like she was royalty. Welcome back to Storytime, where ordinary days somehow take a hard left turn into complete chaos. Today's story is about a grandma named Doris, a parking lot, one very confusing door, and a group of bikers who never saw her coming. And honestly, neither did she. This one has everything: mistaken identity, accidental coolness, a suspiciously powerful purse, and the kind of confidence only grandmas seem to carry in their bones. Doris was 78 years old, 5 feet nothing on a good day, and had the cheerful energy of someone who always knew where the best cookies were hidden. She lived in a small town where everybody knew everybody, and if you sneezed in the grocery store, someone's aunt would probably bless you before you even finished. On this particular Saturday, Doris had one simple mission: attend the church fundraiser at the community center, play a few rounds of bingo, maybe win a decorative fruit basket, and get home in time for her soap opera. A very normal, very peaceful plan. She put on her favorite lavender sweater, clipped on her pearl earrings, and tucked a few emergency peppermints into her purse. That purse, by the way, was not a purse. It was a small leather suitcase with handles. Doris carried it like she had classified government documents and possibly a spare sandwich. The community center was hosting multiple events that afternoon. One room had the church fundraiser, another had a local history society meeting. And then, due to one of life's cruel little jokes, the back annex was rented out by a motorcycle club called the Iron Falcons. Doris arrived, squinted at the building, and saw a sign near the side entrance that said, "Welcome, riders!" She nodded to herself. "Looks right," she said. How, in Doris's defense, she was wearing reading glasses, but she was also in a hurry. And when you are in a hurry and a sign is a little blurry, the world gets very weird very fast. So instead of going to the front door with the balloons and the bingo banner, Doris marched straight into the back annex, pushed open a heavy door, and stepped into a room full of leather jackets, tattoos, motorcycle boots, and beards so majestic they could probably file their own taxes. The room went silent. Doris looked around, smiled politely, and said, "Well, this is a lot more denim than I expected." There were about 14 bikers in the room, all of them big, broad-shouldered, and deeply committed to looking like they could wrestle a cement truck if needed. They were gathered around folding tables covered with maps, coffee, and what appeared to be three different types of chili. At the head of the room sat the club president, a man named Tank, who had forearms like tree trunks and a voice that sounded like he gargled gravel for fun. Tank slowly stood up. "Ma'am," he said, in the careful tone people use when a raccoon has entered the kitchen, "I think you may be in the wrong room." Doris adjusted her glasses, took in the room, and then looked at the sign on the wall that said, "Iron Falcons Riders Meeting." "Well," she said, "that certainly explains why nobody looks ready to discuss casseroles." A couple of bikers snorted into their coffee. Tank blinked. "You looking for someone?" "Yes," Doris said, "but not necessarily here. I'm looking for the community center bingo, unless bingo has changed its entire personality." That got an actual laugh from the room, a deep rolling sound that made the folding tables tremble a little. Tank glanced at the flyer Doris had in her hand, then at her, then back at the flyer. "Ma'am, that's in the front hall," he said.
"Oh dear," Doris said. "I came in the wrong door. That's embarrassing.
I hate when my feet make decisions before my brain gets involved." One of the bikers, a huge man with a beard braided with little silver beads, stepped forward and offered to escort her out. But before he could, Doris did something no one expected. She looked at the table full of maps and asked, "Are you gentlemen planning a trip?" Tank nodded. "Charity ride. We're collecting donations for the children's hospital." Doris brightened immediately.
"Well, that is lovely. My nephew got his tonsils out there in 1994 and still tells everyone he fought a bear in the recovery room. The bikers laughed again. And just like that, the room changed. They were no longer looking at an intruder. They were looking at Doris, who had the kind of energy that made people sit up straighter and start behaving. Now, most people would have apologized, backed out slowly, and maybe pretended the floor had swallowed them. Not Doris. Doris had been married for 45 years, raised 3 children, survived a church bake sale riot in 1988, and once had to yell at a raccoon with her bare hands. She was not easily rattled. Tank, now clearly amused, pulled out a chair. "Have a seat, ma'am. We'll get you to your bingo in a minute." Doris sat down with the dignity of a queen accepting a throne. She placed her purse on the table with a thud that made one biker's coffee cup jump. "What's in there?" asked a younger biker named Diesel. Doris smiled. "Emergency supplies." Diesel, who looked like he could bench press a pickup truck, leaned in with genuine curiosity. Doris opened the purse and began removing items one by one. A pack of tissues, 2 butterscotch candies, a tiny sewing kit, a flashlight, a lint roller, a half-used pack of gum, a paperback romance novel, and finally, a small, neatly folded umbrella. The room stared in reverent silence. Tank pointed at the umbrella. "You carry that around?" Doris shrugged. "It's a sun umbrella, actually, but in a pinch, it can also be used to defend your dignity." Diesel made a noise somewhere between a cough and a laugh. Then one of the bikers, a guy with a handlebar mustache and sunglasses indoors, asked, "You want to help us with something?" Doris narrowed her eyes. "That depends. Is it legal?" The room exploded. Tank wiped tears from his eyes and said, "Ma'am, I like you. We're packing gift bags for the hospital kids. You've got better organization skills than half this crew." And this is how Doris, by complete accident, found herself seated at a folding table next to a gang of bikers, sorting crayons, coloring books, little toy trucks, and stuffed animals into donation bags. She was particularly efficient. She alphabetized the coloring books by theme. She paired every stuffed bear with a pack of crayons. She gently rejected a biker's suggestion to include tiny fake mustaches for children. And every so often she would say things like, "No, dear, the stickers go in the front pocket. We are not savages." They adored her. By the time Doris finished helping, it was clear the bikers had decided she was one of them, at least spiritually. Tank came over with a grin and said, "We're heading out to deliver the first batch of donations. You want a ride over to the front entrance?" Doris paused. Now, to be clear, Doris had not been on a motorcycle in her entire life. She had once ridden a Vespa in her 20s and considered that her peak rebellion. She looked at the large motorcycle parked outside. Then she looked at the biker. Then at her own sensible shoes. "Well," she said slowly, "I did tell my bridge club I wanted to start living dangerously." 5 minutes later, Doris was wearing a borrowed leather vest over her lavender sweater, sitting on the back of a very large motorcycle, and holding on with both hands while the entire biker crew prepared to escort her to the front of the community center like she was the honored guest at the world's most unexpected parade. Someone gave her a helmet. It was too big. It tilted slightly over one eye. She looked less like a grandmother and more like a tiny action hero who had accidentally retired. Tank got on his bike and called out, "We roll slow." Doris leaned forward and said, "Good, I have knees." When they started up the bikes, the noise was enormous. The whole parking lot seemed to rumble. Doris's eyes widened, but instead of fear, her face lit up with pure, unfiltered delight. She raised one gloved hand and shouted, "This is better than the teacup ride at the fair!" And off they went. Not fast, not flashy, just a slow, dignified, roaring convoy of motorcycles carrying a grandma in a borrowed vest like she had been secretly waiting for this moment her whole life. Now, remember that the actual bingo hall was at the front of the building. Which means at the exact moment Doris rolled into the parking lot with the biker gang, the church ladies were arriving in sensible blouses, carrying folding chairs and dessert trays. And there, riding in on a motorcycle like she had ordered it from the universe, was Doris. Her friend Mildred dropped a plate of lemon bars. Her grandson nearly fell into a flower pot. Several church volunteers made the exact same face people make when they realize the casserole is gone. Doris dismounted carefully, accepted Tank's hand like she was stepping off a luxury yacht, and looked around at the shocked crowd. Then she waved cheerfully and said, "Oh, good, you found me." Mildred gasped, "Doris, what in heaven's name are you doing with those men?" Doris turned, adjusted her borrowed vest, and said, "Apparently, making friends." Tank, being a good sport, stepped forward and explained the whole misunderstanding. He told the story of Doris walking into the wrong room, helping pack hospital gifts, and generally winning everyone over in under 12 minutes. The church ladies listened in stunned silence. Then one of them, probably trying very hard not to laugh, said, "So you just joined a biker club by accident?" Doris thought for a moment. "I believe," she said, "I may have been adopted." That was the moment the whole parking lot lost it. Even the bikers were laughing so hard one of them had to lean against his motorcycle. And because life enjoys a good punchline, the Iron Falcons ended up staying for the bingo fundraiser too. They bought raffle tickets. They clapped politely during the hymn sing. And Tank, against all expectations, won a basket of lavender soaps and said it was the finest prize he had ever received. By Monday, the whole town knew the story. People started saying things like, "That's Doris. She once accidentally joined a biker gang and came home with three new friends and a free helmet." At the grocery store, strangers nodded at her with respect. At the pharmacy, the cashier asked if she wanted her prescription bag bagged or should we just hand it to the legend. Her grandkids were absolutely thrilled. They told the story like it was ancient family history, adding dramatic details every time. Grandma stood on a motorcycle like a hero. Grandma made the bikers sort teddy bears. Grandma said the umbrella was for defending dignity. Which, to be fair, was a line so good it deserved to be embroidered on a pillow. Doris, for her part, acted like none of this was unusual. She went to church on Sunday, played cards on Tuesday, and every now and then got a little wave from one of the Iron Falcons when they passed by the diner. And from then on, whenever someone asked Doris if she was afraid of anything, she would smile sweetly and say, "Honey, I've had three children and one explosive pot roast. Fear and I are acquainted." So let's review the glorious disaster. Doris went looking for bingo. She walked into the wrong room. A gang of bikers expected trouble and got a tiny grandma with a purse full of survival supplies instead. She won them over with politeness, a sharp sense of humor, and the kind of no-nonsense energy that can stop nonsense in its tracks. Then she accidentally helped with a charity ride, rode on the back of a motorcycle, and showed up at the fundraiser looking like the world's most adorable outlaw. In the end, nobody got hurt. The kids at the hospital got their donations, the church ladies got a story for the ages, and Doris became a local legend simply by being herself. Which is a pretty good reminder that sometimes the best adventures happen when your brain is slightly slower than your feet. If you enjoyed this story, give it a like, subscribe to Storytime, and tell me in the comments, what's the funniest place you've ever accidentally walked into? Bonus points if it involved confusion, cookies, or a shocking amount of leather. And if you want another feel-good story with a surprise twist, stick around, because the next one is even wilder. Let's just say it involves a wedding, a runaway goose, and one very confused best man.